Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected, accursed enemy. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. You're listening to Words Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. Later to be joined by my co-host, Imam Ayman Abdul-Majid. Inshallah, he'll join us in the second hour. Today is October 24th, 2021. Our program today will be two parts. Our brother Imam Yahya Shabazz of Oakland, California. And we're going to discuss some recent books he has published. And then part two, we have our beloved brother, Daniel Mujahid from Michigan. And we're going to speak for unity in the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So at this time here, we're going to play our opening theme song and then come back with our Quran reading for today. Quran reading and discussion. So here is our opening theme song. We'll be back in a few minutes. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
People, every day, trying to do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on your advice. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words. They make people, and people, they make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are, cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start, work and buy, from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people, and people that make the world go round. Words make people, check out the words that make your mind.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Work Made People. I'm your host, Michael Sahir. We thank you for tuning in today. And we do understand that sometimes some phone companies, I think that's the word I want to use, some phone companies, I think it was Sprint, and they bought T-Mobile. They do not cooperate or work well with this station that we're using. Either they want to charge minutes or have a hard time connecting. So we do apologize for that. If you have that problem, if you have a house phone or someone else's cell phone, you can use that number. But for some reason, this program, this blogtalkradio.com, doesn't work very well, not friendly user with those who have T-Mobile. And if I'm not mistaken, T-Mobile was purchased by Sprint. So if you have Sprint, you may also have similar problems. And we do apologize for that. That's came to our attention a number of times in the last few months, last year maybe even. Thank you for tuning in to Words Make People. We're looking forward to a good conversation. As you know, we always begin with the best words for making people, and those are the words of the Holy Quran. So we're going to read today, we're going to read from Surah 14, Ayah 24. Surah 14, Ayah 24 is what we're going to read from today. So as you can get to that chapter and verse, however you do it, you know, nowadays we can do it by on our phone. You can look up the Quran on our phone. Or if you go with the hard copy, that's okay too. So we're going to begin our reading. As we do, as Muslims, we just don't read the Quran because we have the Quran. We have to prepare ourselves before reading the Quran. We have to mentally, spiritually, morally prepare ourselves. And if we have a physical hard copy of the book, we also have to physically wash our hands before touching the book. Very significant steps of preparation. You're engaging the highest form of communication with our Creator, with the human family. And you just don't approach that in any kind of way. You don't approach that with any kind of spirit. So Allah has given us the protection, even for reading His word. Because if you go into reading God's word with the wrong attitude, the wrong disposition, or the wrong thinking, then we're going to read the words from or through the lenses of those emotions and thoughts, and therefore come away with maybe a misunderstanding. So Allah has taught us through our beloved Prophet Muhammad, he's a prophet to us. He's not our messenger. We didn't give him a message. Allah gave him the message. He's Allah's messenger, but he's our prophet. And Allah has taught us through Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what we ought to say even before reading the Quran. We say two phrases. The first phrase is, "A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim." I seek refuge, protection with Allah from Satan, the rajim. The rajim is the rejected, also known as the enemy to mankind. So the first thing we say before reading the Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Then the second thing we say before reading the Quran, seek Allah's mercy on two levels. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of Allah, the merciful benefactor. That's the first mercy. Allah is the one who gives us benefits, and we're the beneficiaries. He's the benefactor. And this benefit he's given us is his mercy on the first level. then Allah gave us mercy again. You say, Ar-Rahim. The first one was Ar-Rahman. He's the benefactor. The second one is Rahim or Ar-Rahim. He's the merciful redeemer. Redeem, to redeem, to renew, to refresh. So those are the two phrases that we say even before reading the Quran. The first one again is A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek refuge with Allah from Satan, the rejected enemy. And the second phrase is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And then we can read from Allah's word of the Quran. We read in chapter 14, verse 24. I hope everyone has that page now. We go with the Yusuf Ali translation here. And it says, see you not how Allah sets forth a parable? He says, Allah ta'ala kayfa darabalahu mathalan. See you not how Allah sets forth a mathalan, a parable. And the word darabu, saw and ba. We need to study that word too. Our sisters need to really study that word. Sod, Ra, and Ba. And the reason being, because that's the same word that's used in the Quran that has been mistranslated, beat her, the same word. So sisters, study that word. We're brothers too, but sisters really need to study that word because they're trying to use that as a weapon against us in Islam. But the same word, Zaraba, in this case, is used in this verse. It says, see you not how Allah strikes a parable? Or here he says, set forth a parable. A goodly word like a goodly tree whose root is firmly fixed and its branches reach to the heavens of its Lord. So Allah set forth parables for men in order that they may receive admonition. In order that they may receive admonition. That is the Yusuf Ali translation. Let me see, can we get more understanding from this? I'm going to a site, and I found this personally to be a very good site for my studies. And you want to, you can write this down. This site is corpus.quran.com. Corpus, C-O-R-P-U-S, .Quran, Q-U-R-A-N, no hyphen in Quran, just Q-U-R-A-N.com. And you can get a lot of insights into the words. So here it says, do you not see how Allah has set forth a parable? It says, kalimatan tayyibatan. Tayyibatan, the word, is like a goodly tree. Its roots, or its roots, if affirmed, deep into the dunya. It says into the earth, it says its roots are firm, so we know it's going into the earth. But the opposing branches, roots, we call branches. They both are branches. Roots are also a branch, but they go down to the physical earth. That's telling us we have to be rooted firmly in this dunya. But the branches also, they go and they reach out to the heavens. And they give off fruit. listen a lot about us, the human beings, not just Muslims. They listen a lot about us, human beings, as to how Allah wants us to establish our lives, how Allah wants us to establish community life, also our individual lives, how Allah wants us to establish what is good for us in our lives. I'm going to bring in my brother Imam Yahya Shabazz and see if he have any thoughts or comments on this, chapter that we're reading. Brother Imam Yahya Shabazz, welcome to Words Made People.
Hey, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you so much, Brother Imam. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine, alhamdulillah. Yourself?
Alhamdulillah, doing very well, very well. This particular ayah that you're discussing here, Brother Imam, is, you know, one of my favorite ayahs in the Quran, because it has to do with our later discussion in Sharia, because this same ayah, the same verse, can be found in biblical scripture when Jesus was talking about a tree is known by the fruit it bears. And we are to understand this term tree as referring to community life, you know. One of the things that I'm just going to say this as a kind of like a sidebar, Brother Imam, when we learn symbolic language from our lead Imam, W.D. Muhammad, it helped us so much to understand how people be talking over our heads. And I give you a good example of that since we're talking about this term tree. Back during the days of President Ronald Reagan, there was a huge discussion. I think it was him and the first Bush president. It was a huge discussion about deforestation. Now, this term deforestation, it means to eliminate trees. You know, there was a lot of logging and trees being cut down, you know. But in human terms, when we're talking about deforestation, we're not talking about the forest or the trees you see, you know, in Yellowstone Park. We're talking about whole communities. We're talking about eliminating whole communities. And when Ronald Reagan was talking about eliminating whole communities, that's when he put drugs and crack and this kind of thing in the African American community. It was under his administration, with his help, that crack cocaine came into the African American community in order to pay for the war that he was waging in the southern hemisphere here. So, you know, this was saying that the African American community really didn't matter. We just, you know, so people be talking over our head. We think he's talking about the trees and the forest, but no, he's talking about community life. So then, what did Jesus Christ mean? And what is the Quran talking about when it says a goodly word is like a goodly tree? So it's talking really about what is it that influences you. You know, the name of your show, Imam Mikhail, is what? Words make people. So it's the word that goes into your mind, that goes into your psyche, that shapes and molds your thinking, that determines what kind of human being you're going to be. Matter of fact, it determines if you're going to be a human being or an animal. You know? So Yes, sir. That's what it's talking about.
All right. Yes, sir. Okay. And I see that connection. We all treat, and we even call our family, right? We say the family tree.
Yeah, that's right.
You talk about reunions. You say the family tree because then they say, know your roots. They even had a whole documentary back in the 70s called Roots with Kunta Kinte or Edward
Haley.
Yeah,
exactly. Roots. Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Uh-huh. Now, yeah. And we – go ahead.
Now, you know, it says – what does it say? It says – see, is that how Allah set forth a parable, a goodly word, like a goodly tree, whose root is firmly fixed. So, you know, this term root is our foundation, you know, is what we come from. That's what, you know, so the root of the tree, it feeds from the earth. It feeds from, it gets the minerals and the nitrogen, whatever it is that the tree, that the earth contains, that's what the tree nourishes itself on. But then the branches of the tree, the leaves of the tree, reaches toward the heavens where it feeds on the rays of the sun. And there's this scientific term called, it's a big word, you know. I can't pronounce it. Synthosomosis or something like that, But anyway,
okay.
It's where the tree breathes in hydrogen and emits oxygen, and the human being breathes in oxygen and breathes out whatever it is that the tree breathes in. So there's a connection there between the tree and the human family. You know, the tree is a very valuable symbol in religious scripture, you know.
Right.
If you ever look at some of these horror movies, you know, Dracula and so forth, you know, when the movie first comes on, it shows this tree that has been, you know, all bent and squatted, and there's no leaves on it. The branches are all crooked, looking like, you know, ominous claws and so forth. There's no leaves on it. It's just a terrible looking thing, you know. And that tree is symbolic of a community that has nothing to offer, has nothing. No, has no warmth, no security, you know, is racked with crime and violence and so forth, you know. Nobody wants to go to that community, you know. But when you got the tree that, you know, some trees you can put a hammock under and lay down in the hammock and take a nap, you know what I'm saying? So those are the productive communities, you know. So, there's a lot to be learned from the tree, you know, that tree that Adam and Eve in Quran is Shajarah. That's the Quranic expression, you know, it means to argue, you know, to cause disharmony between each other, you know. So there's much to be said about that. I didn't mean to take so long, Brother Man, but, you know.
Okay, good. Thank you very much. We need to learn, and we can only learn when we listen to each other. And so, thank you very much for that, because that was informative. Also, when I was seeing how the verse continues, the flow of the information in the verse, it begins with the root, but it's a higher expression of this tree. Is that the branches reaching up to the heavens. And that is to say, the roots going into the ground give us a material establishment. Here's some background noise. The roots are giving us a physical establishment in this dunya. But the branches are saying we should have a spiritual aspiration as well. We should be reaching for the heavenly order. But a tree cannot reach, or a person cannot reach for the heavenly order until they are established here on earth.
And they exactly.
Go back to the saying, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And because exactly. It is that heavenly aspiration that gives the produce. You got some crops like a carrot or a potato that give their produce underground. But they don't grow very tall. They don't have very heavenly aspirations. But the tree that gives us the big fruit, the greatest fruit production in the world, is those whose branches reach up to a heavenly aspiration. So if we translate that to our human conversation, how is that to benefit human beings? We have to have both. We just can't be rooted in the ground only. We have to expand to the heavens to get the produce that, as it says, that Allah permits. That Allah, He permits this fruit to be given. But if the fruit comes after we have that balance between the two, the balance between our material establishment and our heavenly order in life. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. I know there's so much more that we can say. The Quran is so rich. We can go on. We can go on and on and on. There's so many things crossed my mind, you know, about the tree that was cursed and all that. You know, we can go on. Time is moving on.
That subject on the tree is very deep, brother man. It goes, as you say, there's a lot to be said, but, you know, that's another story for another time.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. Thank you. And then upon finishing reading the Quran, we say Sadaqallah Hu al-Azim. Sadaqallah. They're just saying Allah has, we got the word Sadiq in there too, like trustworthy, right? He says Sadaqallah Hu, Allah has spoken, and how we say it, al-Azim. And that's the same word we say when we in Salat, we put our hands on our knees, we say Sultan of Abir al-Azim, Azim. You're saying mighty. So we say Sadaqallahu al-Azim when we are finished reading the Quran, saying Allah has spoken the mighty truth. Not a truth, a mighty truth. Sadaqallahu al-Azim.
Allah,
I mean, let's talk about your book. We got maybe about a half hour here. And I'm going to let you kind of tell us what you want us to learn about your wonderful works. But I just want to read a small portion of the Quran. This is in chapter 5, verse 48. And I'm kind of beginning in the middle of it. And then, because I think that would just be just what you probably going to say, that's what the doctor ordered. Okay. And it says, and when has come to you, when has come to you the truth, Allah says, for each we have made a law. We have made for you each a law and a clear way. And if they willed, Allah could have made you one community. But here Allah is telling us in the Quran, chapter 5, verse 48, that Allah has made for each people a law. And the word used in the Quran for the law is Sharia. Is that right?
Yes, sir. That's
so
right.
Now, yes. Look at that here now. Sharia is the form it's given. So when people say, let's begin there, because people will say, oh, the Muslim Sharia, and I'm like, but they don't understand that the word Sharia also applies to the Jewish community, the Christian community, and the community. So let us hear from you, Brother Imam Yahya Shabazz. And tell us just in my 10 seconds, maybe 11 seconds, a little bit about who you are. Particularly if they listen to you speak, they'll know who you are. Maybe 12 seconds.
Oh, you mean introduce myself?
Yes, sir.
Is that what you were saying, Brother Imam?
Yes, sir.
Brother Imam. Oh, yes, sir. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, I don't have a whole lot to say about myself. I'm what you call a warmed over civil rights worker. You know, I'm from the very deep south. I'm so far from Mississippi until, as we used to say, I live so far back up in the woods you have to pump sunshine back down to my house, you know. And came through. I think, you know, I've been in almost every organization that since the 60s that have been known, you know, from being an officer in the church to the civil rights movement, to the black nationalist movement, to the anti-war movement, you know, you name it, I've been there. So, you know, during the time that America mm-hmm. was going through some of the most traumatic decades, you know, and where people were in the streets, you know, calling for humanity to come back to obedience to Allah, you know, working with Dr. King and, you know, and Stokely Carmichael, many of the people that we hear about, you know. So,
yes, sir.
You know, I served as the project director for Central Mississippi during those times, you know. And so, you know, in the anti-war times and you know, and then under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, during the Nation of Islam, I was a minister up under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, and assistant in Temple 26 on Gavin Fillmore in San Francisco, California. And after his passing, then, you know, we made the transition to authentic Islam. I don't like to say, a lot of people use that word, what's that word they use when they say about, you know, when you go to from one thinking about a religion to another thinking.
Orthodox,
you know,
or something?
Say what now?
Orthodox? Is that the word?
Orthodox, yeah. You know, I don't like to use that word orthodox because, you know, what people call orthodox, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, or Islam, you know, that's just somebody else's thinking, you know. So that's not necessarily...
Right.
Huh. Orthodox, and we see a lot of what we consider to be Orthodox Islam is not Islam, you know, which is mm-hmm. one of the reasons which brings me to why I wrote this book on Sharia, you know, and two reasons. The first reason is because the political leadership here in America, they use the term Sharia to put fear into the hearts of people who don't really know it, who don't understand it. They make it something to be afraid of. You know, we're not letting them Sharia people over here. You know, we're going to stop Sharia from coming to America and, you know, that kind of thing, you know. And, you know,
right.
and that was a movement that was out one time that was trying to prevent Muslims from building a mosque across, you know, for them to worship in, for them to pray in.
And you know, around
yeah, you know, because people was afraid, you know. They tried to make Sharia connected with terror, with terrorism, you know. And so that was the first reason that I wrote the book. The second reason is because of just what was happening over in the Middle East itself, you know, what with the rise of ISIS and Boko Haram and these other terror groups claiming that they was operating under the auspices of Sharia law, and they was not. It was a big lie, and they were. I don't even consider those people like the Taliban and ISIS and these people. They're not even Muslims. You know, they may wear their traditional clothing. They may be from that part of the world that is traditionally known as Islamic, but they are not. You know, their conduct decides if you are Muslim or not, you know. So
yes, sir.
So that's the other reason that I wrote the book, to clear up the controversy.
Well, let me ask you, how long did it take you to write the book?
I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 years, you know. When you are concentrating on something that you're getting from Allah's holy book, you know, you want to make sure that you are as close to truth and exactness as possible. You don't want to put anything in there that may mislead someone. So it took a little while for me to put it together, but you know, and in writing the book, I was trying to be, you know, wide ranging, wide thinking, you know. After I had finished the book, show you just what I meant. I showed the book to Imam Yahya Abdullah, you know, one of the well known and very, very knowledgeable imams in our community. You know, that brother is like very dynamic. This was the first edition of the book, and on the book, on the cover of the book, it says Sharia law, Islamic law, and he said, "No, brother, you got to go back to the drawing board. It ain't just Sharia law; it's Sharia law men had. Sharia law men had, you know." I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, you mentioned a second word. Maybe you get ready to say, I should have waited. But I want to ask you to speak further on that second word that Imam Yahya Abdullah told you about.
I was about to go into that. Allah said in the Quran, in that ayah that you was just reading, it says, to each among you, have we prescribed a law that is Sharia and an open way, men had, you know. So that term, according to the dictionary, men had, it means to give someone a gift. It means to be flexible. It means to be you know, merciful and these kind of things. And so in legal terms, we're talking about not only do you have the law, Sharia, but you also have the spirit of the law, you know. So men had would fall into that category known as the spirit of the law, meaning that you don't have to just apply the law word for word in its strictest sense. But you have flexibility. Mm-hmm. That's what men have, you know.
I'm looking closer at that word men have. It is in chapter 5, verse 48. And it's what men have. You know, that is the only time that the word is used in the Quran. According to the site corpus.quran.com. That's the only time that word is used here. It's used in the Quran, and that's very interesting. But what I wanted to also give more emphasis on, because you said you wanted to open the book up, I guess you were saying, to be more universal. You wrote the book not only to appeal to Muslims, is that correct?
Exactly. You know, because for the Muslim, you know, and I want to get into that term Muslim as well. you know, for the Muslim, you know, we tend to relate our religion back to the scholar. You know what I'm saying? We you know, whenever we refer to the religion, we don't refer to it, and this is sad and it is tragic. And Christians are guilty of the same thing. When they talk about the Bible, when they talk about their religion, they don't talk about their understanding of the scripture. They talk about what the pastor said, what Reverend so-and-so said. You know what I'm saying? Instead mm-hmm. of going into the book and asking Allah to guide them, you know, because Allah hasn't given the preacher anything that he hasn't given you. You know, I mean, your mm-hmm. mind is the same, is just as capable of discerning the truth from falsehood as your pastor. And by the same token, the Muslim, you know, we depend on the scholars of 1,400 years ago, you know, or mm-hmm. some maybe a century or two closer, but, you know, it's like we can't think outside of the scholar. And what did the scholar say, you know? And and that is tragic because what happens is that we get stuck back centuries ago in another land, in another time, and we try to use the understanding that they have here in America in the 21st century. And no scholar ever knew what the worldwide internet was all about.
You know. You think about that. You know, I think that's why Imam Muhammad, he encouraged us to think and to take a thing to its logical conclusion. We do want to open our phone lines up. If anybody want to press one on your phone to ask our brother any questions about his book, please press one on your phone and we will engage you into our conversation. But Imam Yahya, how can we order your book?
You can get it. It's on Amazon. And my book, there's two copies of the book on Amazon. One of them is from Ex Libris, that's Xlibris, and the other one, the second one, is from the publisher called Tranquility Press. That's the one that's less expensive. So, my book has been revised. I've added another chapter to it, and on the cover of the book, you will see the Holy Quran, you will see the Bible, and you will see the Torah. And it's in conjunction with what you and I were just talking about, Billy Mann, that he has given each of us a law in an open way. So, and under that those three books, you will see the term Tawheed, which means unity. So unity mm-hmm. of God, actually. You know, so that's to you know, inspire us to, you know, to relieve ourselves of the dissensions and the divisions among us, and understand that we all have to work toward uniting the humanity. And for those mm-hmm. of you Christians who may be listening to this program, you know, when you read Sharia law, when you understand it correctly, it's the same thing as the Ten Commandments.
Yes, sir.
There's no difference in Sharia law than the Ten Commandments. And there's no difference in Sharia law than what Jesus Christ brought, you know.
Yes, sir.
Serve the Lord your God.
Yeah, I'm reading here.
You know?
Yes. So, now, have you had any feedback from non-Muslims on your book?
I have everything that I have gotten was like 5 stars, Buzzy Man. You know, I've heard people talk about the book and online and in person. You know, Muslims and other people. You know, who are not in the Muslim community. You know. Read it and studied it and approve of it, and they have given it, you know, 5 stars. So I am very proud of it. They all praise be to Allah, and we've made ourselves available, you know, if anybody wants to, you know, invite us to come and make a presentation on Sharia law, you know, just go to Yahya Shabazz, the number 5, at gmail.com and drop an email to us, and we'll be glad to travel.
Okay, so to, in order to reach you through email, it's Yahya Shabazz, YAHYASHABAZZ, there's two Z's, the numeral 5 at gmail.com. Is there
correct.
A phone number?
925-282-9595.
Okay, as you said, one more time.
925-282-9595. And let me say this one thing, Imam Mikhail. we have to understand that religion is supposed to unite us. Religion don't divide us. You know, here we are at each other's throat. I'm a Muslim, you're a Christian, you're a Jew. You know, It's like, my God, where did that kind of thinking come from? And yet we say we serve the same God. You know, and look at the secular world. I'm a Crip, you're blood. I'm a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're an independent. I'm a man, you're a woman. And now you got, I'm a homo, you straight, you trans. I mean,
right.
It's like, you know, so we see all of these expressions in human society, and they're all divisive. There's nothing that we see that is uniting us as a people. And so, you know, we don't have a political problem. We have a moral problem. And the religious leadership have to begin to speak up and address these issues and tell people that if you believe in God, you know, you have to spearhead the path to unity. Regardless of one religious belief, the religion that I don't have any Christian in. I see, you know, when you look at Christians, who originated all of the social services that we benefit from today? It wasn't Muslim. You know, it was Christian. You know, the welfare office, the medical department, the legal department. I mean, you know, so how are you as a Muslim going to denigrate a Christian when you benefit from everything? You ain't created nothing here. You know what I'm saying?
That's a good point.
And then by the same token, when the Christians read the history, it was the Muslims that brought navigation, that brought astronomy, that brought medicine, that brought scientific development, that brought all of the philosophies, the algebra, the mathematics, and all of these things into material existence. So we benefited from each other. You know, ain't nobody been, when you look at African Americans, who created the toilet, the traffic lights, the all of these things that white folks benefit from. And by the same token, white people have also brought some magnificent inventions as well. So the point I'm trying to make here is that all of this dissension and divisiveness that we see among us, we magnify the negative and minimize the positive when there's so many more positive things that we can focus on that will unite us as humanity. And all of this crap that we see happening out here with Republicans and Democrats will immediately disappear if we came together as God wants us to.
Yes, right. Thank you very much. I want to ask you a question about your book in regards to when a person has read your book and they close in their last page in their last chapter and they have your book is done, what is it that you would like for them to walk away with? Is there any one thing that stands out?
The last chapter, you say?
No, I mean from any part of the book, when they had done reading the book.
Oh,
what is
okay.
What you want them to, what is it? You know,
what is it that I would like for people to walk away with?
Yes, sir.
That Allah has told us in his holy book, he says, I have created you of different tribes and different nations so that you would know each other, not despise each other. What is that saying to us? You know, we have mm-hmm. to be, we have to start, don't recognize me by my skin color. Don't recognize, I deserve your respect just from the fact that you see me, you see another human being. I deserve your mm-hmm. respect like the instant that you see me because you have to perceive me as being a human being. Before you see any
yes,
color,
sir.
Before you see anything else, I am human. I am not black, I am not Negro, I am not African American first. I am all of those things, but I am human first. So you have to respect my humanity before anything else, you know. Don't see me and say, there's a black man. No,
mm-hmm.
you see me and say, there's a human. And by the same token, I am to respect you in that same manner. And then we go from there.
Yes, sir.
So that's the idea. That's the thought that
well,
I would like people to come away with this book.
Yeah, and if we can take that from your book, then your book should be in all the libraries, all the schools, not just Muslim schools. It should even be in the hands of the U.S. State Department and the FBI. They should be able to read your book. The presidents, the leaders in our society, should have access to your book because it will explain what they don't know or what they have a fear of. And we do want to encourage those who are listening now, if you have a question for our brother, please press one on your phone. This is a very good book. And I know the time put in into the book. So if you have a question for our brother, you know, Yahya Shabazz on his book, give us the title of the book again. I want to make sure I get it right. Sharia.
Sharia wa Minhaj, Islamic law.
Islamic law. But you're saying Islamic law, but it's really addressing not just Islamic law, but Christian law,
well,
Jewish
you know
law, etc.
That's the other thing that I wanted to explain, Brother Imam. You know,
sure.
Islam, you know, everything is Islamic. You know, I mean, when you understand it, Islam is not a religious title as we understand religion. It is not a
mm-hmm.
Islam. It's only it means obeying God. That's all it means. You know, you Jewish, and if you're doing right, you Islamic. You Christian. If you're obeying God, you Islamic. Whatever you got now, the trees, the stars, the moon, everything is Islamic because God created the creation Islamic. It means when the sun rises in the east, it sets in the west, the sun is Muslim. Why? Because it's obeying God. That's what it means. It's not a religious title, you know, per se. And
yes, sir.
And that's why I say it's important that we stop using these terms non-Muslim. There's no such thing as a non-Muslim. Everything is Muslim. I mean, everything is Muslim.
Except Shaitan.
Except he bleeds.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
I mean, Yes, sir. You know what? You are speaking about the law that we're emphasizing in your book covers is not only Muslim law. You may not have this in your book, but Imam Muhammad said it was one time when the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon the Prophet, had to make a decision about someone who had committed fornication. And when it came to his attention, the Prophet rendered the judgment, lashes. But then his companion whispered into the ears of the Prophet. He said, he's not Muslim, he's Jewish. And when the Prophet heard that, he became very sad. And the reason why he became very sad, because upon realizing this person, this fornicator, was Jewish, the Prophet had to enact upon this person Jewish law, which is death. Now, in the Prophet's heart, he didn't want to do it. But when the Quran says that each people is a law, then you commit, as a Jew, you committed the sin, as it was understood at that time. I got to say it that way. Stoned to death.
Yeah.
The Prophet was very sad, but he said, you live the life of a Jew, you get the punishment of a Jew. That's your Sharia. And I just point that out as to say how the Prophet himself recognized that each people have their own law. And he, as the Prophet, though he wanted to give this fellow the Muslim punishment, he did. He could. Because Allah has given each people a law. And that's important.
Yes.
I think that's one thing that may, I don't know if that come out in your book directly, but that's what I'm sensing, is also the spirit of your book. We will recognize and respect the law of each group, so of each group.
Well, Brother Imam, the way we have to understand this is like in the Quran it says, the woman or the man guilty of fornication, you know, give them those lashes. And if we to understand this in the correct manner, we can't stone people in 2021. We can't hook up a whipping pole down on, like I live in Oakland. You know, you can't hook up a whipping pole down on 14th and Broadway. Market Street down in front of the courthouse in San Francisco. You know, so what am I saying here? Allah says this to us in his holy book in Surah 2, Ayat 103. He says, not 106, none of our revelations do we call to be forgotten or abrogated unless we substitute something better. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the words in the Holy Quran, and we should understand this, these are not Prophet Muhammad's words. These are not Prophet Ibrahim. These are not Prophet Jesus. These are not Moses' words. The words that we find in Quran are words from God. These are Allah's words. And Allah, in all his grace and mercy and wisdom, when he revealed the Holy Quran to us, the language that he used was the kind of language that without ever changing it. You cannot change the words in the Quran, but the word, our understanding of the word is what evolved. You know, we have to understand that the same word that may have been used for lashing somebody for fornication or cutting off somebody's hands for stealing something, that same word can be with the correct understanding, without changing that word, it's a word that evolved. Our understanding about that word, like so, if you're talking about cutting off somebody's hand for stealing a loaf of bread, you know, or even cutting off somebody's hand for stealing some jewelry or robbing a bank or whatever, you know. So it don't mean that today, it doesn't mean that. It means to take that idea that caused that person to commit that crime, you know, cut that idea from his mind, reform the person, to use simple language.
Yes, sir.
Because if you cut off somebody's hand, let me present this little scenario, buddy man. If you cut off somebody's hand, what you have done physically, you have labeled that person a thief for the rest of his life. Whenever he goes anywhere, people go cross the street when they see him. There go a thief. Because why? His hand has been cut off. And they know the reason why his hand was cut off. But now, if you reform the person and cut that idea of sin, of thievery from his mind, then that person can grow up to be the one that changed the conditions of the world. You know. So
yes,
you.
Sir.
So this is what I'm telling
you. Thank you. You know, and I'll say this here. Almost time for us to segue and wait for my brother Daniel to come. He's not on yet, so we're going to continue with you until he comes. Just a couple of thoughts, and I heard you, man, Muhammad, speak on this. I'm sure you have too, probably. I'm sure you have. Imam said you got to look at what the hand stands for symbolically, and the hand stands for your deeds, your works, your actions.
Right,
that's
right,
the hands,
right?
So
yes,
they even call them ranch hands, or in the Navy, all hands on deck. I mean, all the workers come on top. We've got some work for you to do. We need your hands.
Come on, do your thing. Exactly.
So,
cutting
off the hand means that you cut off the deed. It doesn't mean to cut the physical hand. It means that you fired the person. You fired him.
Yeah.
You fired. You know, that's cutting the hand. You know, so then also, your man, he explained about the lashes. And he made a connection with eyelashes. The eyelashes over your eyes. Right? And when a person has committed adultery and fornication, that the parent or the loved one are so ashamed, they lower their head and close their eyes, their eyelashes go down.
You hit that person
with the shame in your eyeball.
Yeah.
Lowering your eyelashes. That's the 40 lashes that you hit them with. You hit them in their conscious with the shame on your face.
Right.
I'm so ashamed of you, Junior.
Yeah, yeah.
You let me down.
You know, Brother Nam, in that, just on that same topic that you are referring to now, we have elevated sex. I mean, this society is based in sex right now. Sex with anybody, anything, anywhere, anyhow. So nothing is shameful anymore. And Shaitan creates this kind of focus on sex in order to remove the shame from us. You know. I'm, like I said at the beginning of the program, I'm from Mississippi. And if a young lady became pregnant out of wedlock, she had to leave town because of the shame. You know, I know a couple of sisters who had to go to Chicago and live with relatives because they was pregnant out of wedlock. You know, now that's, what is that for? That's not to belittle anybody, but it is to let people know that kind of conduct is not good, you know, and it's not good for proper community life. You know, we have to see our women as the first teachers of our children, and we have to put our women up on a pedestal. We have to honor them. We have to respect them. We have to trust them and love them because they the first teachers of our children, and they got to put that kind of instructions into the minds of our children for a productive future generation. So when you allow these things so what happens to the man now? The man also has to be changed. You know. So and this is just like the lashing, because that word for lashing in the Quran, I can't think of the term right now. You know, if you got that ayah there, and if you mention that word, I can refer to it. But I do know the definition of it, though. It means to not break the skin. It means to not break the skin. So how can you lash somebody with a whip and at the same time don't break the skin? It means to shame them. You know, I remember at one time here in our community, if somebody was caught stealing or breaking the law, we would put their picture in the Muslim Journal newspaper and circulate it around the community so people, you know, would know who that is, you know. So I don't think we do that anymore, but, you know, I think we did that for a short period of time, you know. So we people have to be shamed out of doing immoral things. So what does the immorality lead to? Immorality leads to homosexuality. You know, I was born a man, but now I'm a woman. You know, you want to use the same restaurant as my granddad? Oh, no, that ain't going to never happen. You know, if I see you going into a bathroom where my children are, where my female children are, you're going to have me to deal with. That ain't going to happen. You know, you got people who are killing babies, abortion laws and so forth. You know, they value abortion more than they value the right to vote, you know. So this sexual explosion, this sex out of wedlock, you know, the biggest thing going around now is I'm your girlfriend, I'm your boyfriend. No, you my wife or I'm your husband. You know, we got to get away from this girl, boyfriend. You know, I ain't a boy.
Said before.
You know, so I ain't looking for no girlfriend.
Okay.
I'm looking for a wife.
Yes, sir. Okay,
about sex has really ruined the society, and it doesn't mean that you lash the people physically. It means that you shame them out of that immoral conduct, so that they can grow up to be productive citizens in the community.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you. Brother Daniel should be here in a second, but if you could speak real briefly on your other book you've written before about the New World Leadership in the 21st Century. Can you speak on that for a minute, please?
That was my first book, New Leadership into the 21st Century. And both of these books can be gotten at xlibris.com. That's X-L-I-S-B-R. How you spell xlibris?
You're right. Yeah, that was it.
Anyway, it's xlibris.com. You can the New Leadership into the 21st Century, brother and ma'am. And it's a book about the leadership method of some of our most influential and prominent leaders, beginning with Booker T. Washington and W.B. Du Bois back at the turn of the century, on up through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Dr. Martin Luther King in these modern times.
Mm-hmm.
And I am reviving that book also, Brother Imam, and the revised copy will be out sometime soon, but it has to do with moral intellectualism, you know, because it was the intellectual that set the stage for change. Malcolm was an intellectual.
Yes, sir.
Dr. King was an intellectual. Honorable Elijah Muhammad was an intellectual. It doesn't mean that you graduated from Harvard or Yale or anything like that, but it meant that you was able to recognize the wrongs in the society and speak to the needs of the people in the society. It doesn't matter if you from Main Street or Wall Street, but if you could speak to the needs of the society, people would gravitate toward that truth that you're putting out there. You know, so it was the intellectual movement. Now, we have people who have intellectual capabilities today. They are intelligent people, but they work for Wall Street. You know, when you look at MSNBC and CNN and these other news stations, they're not speaking to the needs of the people. They're speaking to the needs of big business. You know, but we're talking about people speaking to the needs of the people. That's what we're lacking in, you know. And that's not that's to identify the issue and speak to those issues. And that's what my book, New Leadership into the 21st Century, is dealing with. And it talks about the contributions of our people all the way from the inception of America up until where we are now.
Yes, sir. Okay, great. Yeah. And we need to be conscious of that. The evolving.
Right now,
really
we have this conversation. Say what, Brother Man?
No, I'm saying
there's a big conversation going on now about it has to do with history, teaching history in school. They don't want the history of the country to be taught in school. So, you know, they're fighting against it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what this book is about. It just goes through everything that, you know, it deals with more than just slavery. It deals with the fact that our people, the African-American people, Imam W.D. Muhammad, he calls us, he says that we are not African, we are not Asian, we are not Arab, we are us.
Yes, we are new people.
There has never been a people like us in the history of the world before. There ain't nobody like this African-American people. We are a people that were born from slavery. We are a people that the heat and the boils of the influence of slavery, it took everything out of us that we brought over here from Africa. You know, the only thing that it did not take out of us was our humanity. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. Let me do this here because time is moving on with us. I'm going to play that clip by Imam Muhammad saying that we are new people. It sounds a little bit weak, but you listen to it. This is very important. About 4 minutes long. But also, we want to mention, too, some other events coming up, too. Mark your calendars for some very important dates. One is October 30th, which is next Saturday. The Muslim Journal is having it there. It's called, it's part of the A Time to Be Grateful.
A Time to Be Grateful,
it's a part of it. A Time to Be Grateful is in December, but this is a lead-in to it. It's connected with it. It's a jazz concert. It's a fundraiser for Muslim Journals next Saturday. I'm going to have our brother, Winard Harper. He's a jazz drummer. We had him on our program a few weeks ago, along with Sister Joan Najee, along with Sister Aisha K. Mustafa. But it's next Saturday. So go to muslimjournal.net. I believe that's the website you can go to. And you can find out more about this program because it's going to be very good. It's going to be at 7 p.m. They're asking people to join the event. It's the Muslim Journal Subscription Drive Concert. That's the name of it. Muslim Journal Subscription Drive Concert. but it's sponsored by A Time to Be Grateful. So it's going to be next Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can go to their site and you can go to their site at Muslim Journal. I'm trying to figure out which one they got here. Oh, they got two or three of them listed here. Just go to, I think it's MuslimJournal.net. Yeah, there it is. MuslimJournal.net/ATTBG. ATTBG is the letters for A Time to Be Grateful. So go to MuslimJournal.net. And buy your tickets, $25 for the ticket, and they'll send you the link. You can watch it in the comfort of your home. We're going to join together at our mosque here in Indianapolis. We're going to have a get-together. That's next Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's also going to be spoken word as well. And it's going to be a special vocalist. Is going to appeal to those between the ages of 18 and 35. So it's not just for us older senior Muslims. This is for everybody. So but go Google the name Winard, W-I-N-A-R-D, Harper, and you can check him out. He's a brother, Muslim brother. He's part of our community with Imam Muhammad, but he's an internationally renowned jazz drummer. This is a fundraiser for our Muslim Journal. So mark that date for. Secondly, mark your calendar for November 14th. That's going to be a national Zoom of the Muslim and folklore community. We're coming into 25 years of Imam Muhammad and Kira Lubit beginning this relationship with the Muslim community and the folklore community. So we're going to do that the same way. It's going to be an international, nationwide Zoom. The Zoom link has not been created yet. But if you go to Facebook, it's those on Facebook. And also I'm sending out an email for information on how we can support this effort of recognizing 25 years, not just interfaith on the social environment, but really getting into knowing each other while respecting each other's faith. And so those are the two dates. The last date is for us locally here, November 7th. We have our 29th Parent Appreciation Banquet. So go to our Facebook page, nuralla.org. Nuralla, NURALLA.org. So at this time here, we're going to play the clip, brother. Imam of Imam Muhammad, speaking about we are a new people. And maybe by then our brother Daniel will have joined us. We'll be right back. Enjoy this wonderful clip from Imam Muhammad speaking of us being a new people.
Secondly, Imam Muhammad, you have said in the past that significant cultures have developed their own schools of law, or maqams in Islamic history. Do you still hold that Islam in America will develop its own school of law, or maqam, in the future? What are some of the contributions that Islam in America can make to the traditions of Islamic law?
The next question, do you still hold Does W.D. Muhammad still hold to his belief or his position on madhhabs and Islamic law for America? Yes, I still hold strongly. In fact, I'm even more strongly holding on to that belief now than I was when I mentioned it several years ago. Yes, yes. Why? Because when you study, when we study the development of schools of thought for Muslims in the old world, Africa, Saudi Arabia, and other places, these schools don't conflict with each other, but they address different problems and issues, and in their own special way. And they had more in common with each other because of them being contemporaneous, existing in the same time with the same situations for mankind in the known world of that time. They had more in common than we have now, being 1,000 years away from them, almost, and continent away from them, and a very new human society in America and in the world now. I think it's necessary for them to even reread and restudy their maps in light of the changes that have come about on Earth to modernize man for good and bad, to better educate the public for good and bad. We need to study all that. The different kinds of environmental situations we have and conditions we have affecting the human soul today and challenging religion to keep itself pure and to keep its own genuine characteristics in nature. We have to study this again. For us in America, we are new people. I heard the Christian respondent referring to us as a special people, and that's exactly what we are. Before slavery and our migration to the north and our presence here now on this earth, there were no people such as we are on this planet. We are definitely a new social group on this planet. God has created us again. The children were emptied of their life and put in slavery, and God has restored the human life to the human vessel again, and we are another people, a new people on this planet. You who study psychology and the development of society, you definitely will agree with me. Because I'm not only speaking with respect for my knowledge, I'm speaking with respect for science, the science of human life and nature and society. We are new people. We are definitely a new people on this planet Earth. We didn't exist before. So we are new thinkers. We don't think like Africans. We don't think like white people. We think like us. We don't think like Arabs. We don't think like Asians. We think like us. Now, why should the Islamic world be deprived of Islam being expressed through a new and innocent vessel?
Alhamdulillah, that's Ali, the Imam Muhammad, speaking on us being a new people. That our brother Daniel here is not signed on yet. I've been trying to contact him throughout the whole process. Yeah, maybe he called in under another number. It's brother Daniel Mujahid from Detroit, Michigan. Yeah, so I'm not sure what's going on. But, Brother Mary, we're going to wrap up your session. Anything you want to share with us before we transition?
Two things, Brother Mary.
Yes, sir.
That piece that you just played, I mean, that was, like, so powerful. You know, when we're talking about we are a new people, you know, there's not a mind like this African-American. You know what I'm saying? You know. Some of it is good, some of it ain't so good, you know, but we are a new people, and like I said, slavery took everything out of us except our humanity, and that's who we are. I don't see anybody more giving. I don't see anybody more loving, more concerned, more human than the African-American community. Anytime you can have somebody come into your place of worship and kill and shoot up a whole bunch of people, and all you have to say about those people is that we forgive you. We want justice to be good done now, but we forgive you. You know, when you look at the Jews, they're tracking people down and killing them, putting them in jail. You know, it is only the African-American community that carries out God's command in terms of our humanity towards other people. You know, and last but not least, I was just listening to you announce the event by the Muslim Journal. Imam Muhammad has encouraged us to get out of this entertainment business that we see going on out here. As you know, Brother Imam, we have a group here in California. It's called, it's a national group, really. It's called Like-Minded People for Social Justice, Recognizing One Humanity. And what we're doing, and we are an interfaith group, you know, working with Muslim, Christian, and Jew, and other community leaders. And we are working on stopping the gun violence and all of the bloodshed that's going on in our community. And we've identified the source of much of that kind of destructive thinking is the lyrics that we see in the music that our young people are listening to today. The lyrics are primarily rooted in disrespect for authority, disrespect for women, disrespect for self and community, killing and shooting each other to prove that you are somebody to be respected. And that's what the lyrics and the song and the music that we listen to, that's the kind of thinking that it promotes. And our group, Like-Minded People for Social Justice, is working to rid the community of that kind of thinking. And in conjunction with that, we have to like the jazz brother that you were just speaking about. If we get rid of one thing, we have to create something else for the people to be a part of. And with that thought in mind, I'm becoming a promoter, brother man. we have a program that we are presenting. It's going to be November 27th here in Oakland, California, the Oakland, San Francisco Bay Area. It's a jazz and blues extravaganza presenting Sister Roger Hyatt. She's going to be singing music from Ellington to Simone. Brother Dwayne Jamal, he has his blue band ensemble, and Sister Neomat Grace Shaheed. She's going to be presenting poetry from behind the veil. It's going to take place here in Oakland November 27th from 6 to 9 p.m. And if anybody under the sound of my voice wants to be a part of it, take or attend, the tickets are $25 each. And just call my phone number or send me an email at that email I gave earlier, yahyashabal@gmail.com. Or call my phone, 925-282-9595, for more information, and I can let you know where to get the tickets to the event at. So that's going to be November 27th from 6 to 9 p.m.
November 27th.
The Thanksgiving weekend.
Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Would it also be carried? I'm trying to see if we can stream it.
Can the person join that through the internet, the November 27th event?
I'm gonna try to see if I can get that set up, Brother Man. Yeah. I am technically challenged, but I do know a few people who are not.
Okay.
So I am.
Okay. That's why Allah gave us children and grandchildren to help us through these trying times. So we just have to move on. Yes, sir.
Inshallah, we are going to have it stream because it is going to be a dynamic program, you know. And
okay.
The people here is all local talent, all local talent.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Okay. Well, we thank you, and we pray for your success. We pray for the success of all of us. Our brother Daniel, he has not came on. If Brother Daniel, if you're on under another number, press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you in. But I'm going to carry forward with the conversation. And Brother Yahya, we thank you. Email Yahya Shabazz. We thank you for the hard work you've done in writing the books, and we thank you for being on our program today to share with us about the book. Keep in mind.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me with you, Brother Imam. I really do appreciate the opportunity.
Yes, sir. Well, keep in mind that these shows are archived. They are recorded and archived, so you can use this later on if you want to. You just use the same link that you have, and you should be able to find this again. Or you can go to Google and put in keywords like Words Made People, put in my name, Michael Sahir, or put in the title, email Yahya Shabazz, and you should be able to find this later on. But the show will be archived and should be available within 5 minutes after we go off in about a half hour or so. So thank you, Brother Imam. As-salamu alaykum.
All right, may Allah bless you with an excellent day, Brother Imam, and thank you for the opportunity of being on. And let me know, man, when you want me to get through there.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we got work on that. Yes, sir.
Yes,
yeah, we're in the process of moving. We're in the process of moving, so we'll get there, inshallah. Okay.
You built the new masjid, right?
No, not yet, but we got the land, we got a house and all that. We're making progress. We're moving toward it. Allah's blessing us. So just keep us in your du'as, and we keep you in our du'as.
Yes, sir. Alhamdulillah. All right. May Allah bless you with an excellent rest of your day, brother, man. As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam. Okay, that was our brother Imam Yahya Shabazz from Oakland, California, written book on Sharia. Sharia. Well, Minaj. Yeah, thank you. I had to think there for a second. And we thank him for the hard work that he has done working with those books. Because writing a book is no easy thing. It takes time. It takes diligence and patience. So we're very grateful to him for what he has done. On his book on Sharia, Wa Minhaja, that's it, Islamic Law, available on Amazon and on El Libris. We're going to move forward with our conversation. Even though our brother Daniel is not with us, maybe he'll come. But he had speaking about unity in the community, referring to Imam Muhammad's community. And he has spoke at the Mosque Cares, I think this past first Sunday. And he has said he wanted to share some of his thoughts with us because he had laid out some ideas and concepts for unity in our Islamic community, speaking of the followers of Imam W.D. Muhammad. So hopefully he'll come on. If not, we can just continue the conversation. And if you have anything you want to add to this topic, you can press 1 on your phone, and we will engage you into our conversation over the next half hour before we go off today, inshallah, God willing. I have recently been blessed to create this concept of a tree, and the tree was given the name, well, I gave the tree the name, the Tree of Life. And this tree showed a big tree showing limbs and branches and leaves. You know, each of the leaves, or each leaf, I wrote down a entity within our association that had national appeal or national following. And that became difficult because people wanted me to put in their local or individual groups and couldn't do it. But nonetheless, the tree was designed to represent the life of our community. And I'll say here, the tree of life concept was birthed from a concern for preserving history, I should say preserving our history, while celebrating the seminal leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad that gave hope and vision to all of our life aspirations. This tree of life concept represents participatory democracy. Participatory democracy, where each individual person can roll up their sleeves and use their own hands in the establishment and maintenance of community to life, nation building, with no, quote, big I and little U, end quote, mentality. Where only Allah is the Rabb, the Lord, Cherisher, and Sustainer. So the wording on each leaf represents some, not all, of the fruit of the tree. We heard the saying from years ago called the fruit of Islam being the best part of the tree. The tree emanates from a body of knowledge. Now, this body of knowledge on this picture that I drew, that I created, it says that Ibn Walter D. Muhammad is a body of knowledge. And I encourage us to see him and present Imam Muhammad as more than just Wallace Muhammad, our leader, but that we present Imam Muhammad as a body of knowledge. Our younger and future generations will never meet the physical man, Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. Thus, it is obligatory that we ensure that our future generations meet and study and get to know this blessed body of knowledge that we properly call Imam Walter D. Muhammad. When our younger and future generations encounter and become one with Walter D. Muhammad as a body of knowledge, as a language body, it will impregnate the minds and souls, their minds and souls, with a special and blessed way of thinking that will give more and more insights into the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad that will guide us forward towards our destiny as a new people. So that's a concept that I share, and I've been sharing it with many people because we need to see our future in the knowledge that we have been given, this body of knowledge. So hopefully that can begin a conversation. We do have a caller here from 856 area code. A caller from 856, thank you for calling Words Made People. Can you give us your name and your city, please?
Subhana Ali, Barrington, New Jersey, near Lawnside, Masjid Free Haven.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Sultana. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Okay. That last statement you made.
Yes, ma'am.
Really, ma'am? What was that last statement
yes.
you made?
Oh, the last thing that I made, I'll say
mm-hmm.
go back to it again. Our younger and future generations will never meet the physical man, Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. Thus, it is obligatory that we ensure that our future generations meet and study and get to know this blessed body of knowledge that we properly call Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. when our younger and future generations encounter and become one with Walter D. Muhammad as a body of knowledge, as a language body, it will impregnate their minds and souls with a special and blessed way of thinking that will give more and more insights into El Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that will guide us forward or towards our destiny as a new people.
Okay, so Imam Muhammad identified us a new people, and we have a new name, and we have a new way of life.
Yes.
Okay, I'm just going to read a little bit. Imam Muhammad, exact words. Because of dissatisfaction and confusion among our people concerning a proper and more dignified name effected immediately, I call myself Bilalian, and I invite all of you to take on the same name. Now, we have no label. No, we're not Africans because we weren't born in Africa. We don't have a memory, okay? And to be dignified, we need to be able to have a label like everyone else in the world. If we're so different, we're not African, we're not European, we're all of that through rape and everything else. We're Native American. We assimilated into the tribes, and we're all of that. So now we are Bilalians. We go from the lightest light to the darkest dark. Okay, the five things that assimilated with the tree, we talked about the family tree. And before I get into that, I was at a function on the lawn at our Master Freehaven in Lawnside, New Jersey. And a young Muslim girl walked up to me and said, "My father said that I need to ask you, because on my birth certificate, when it comes to his name and what he is, it's Bilalian." And I asked him, what country is that? So obviously wasn't explained what Bilalian meant. A lot of people want to say, he was trying to tell you it's the follow Bilal. Not really. You need to know the definition of names. Every single name has a definition. Americus Vespucius. Oh, it's America. Okay. You understand? So we have to look at that. The five products of the tree. You have to have a seed first, and it's going to germinate. Germinate means it's going to come together, right? And then comes the root. And that root will become the tree. And that tree will produce branches. And then the branches will produce leaves. That's five things. Just like we know the number five, very important. Just not our slot. It's our fingers, our toes.
Right. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so, and I appreciate everything being said. I want to bring it back to our topic about unity in our community, if you can make that connection.
Unity in our community?
Yes.
You want me?
Well, but that was the topic that we were discussing.
I don't know what he was planning on telling us. I was really anxious to hear it.
Right, and the point that you're making is a very good point. No, that's my home phone. But the points you're making are good points, but how can we use this to build unity in our community?
I think that the unity will be a name identifies, you can do a family, you can do a community, you know, anyone that was brought to the Western Hemisphere and enslaved became a Bilalian. You could be a Barbadian Bilalian. You can be a Jamaican Bilalian. The same things that happen to them happen to us. You can be a Mississippian Bilalian. You know, you're American Bilalian. You are an American Bilalian.
Let's do this here because the shows are archived and someone may listen to this show 5-10 years from now. So let's, since our brother Daniel didn't come, let's talk about this topic because I may do a show coming up soon and I may title the show, I have Bilalian on my birth certificate. Now what?
Okay.
I think it'd be a good topic to ask because there's a lot of younger Muslims in our community born in the late 70s, maybe definitely the 80s, who have Bilalian on their birth certificate. I ran across the mortgage papers I signed back in the 80s, and I got Bilalian written down on the mortgage papers for the house I bought at that time period.
Okay.
I just used it
recently for the census, and they sent someone here to look at me.
Yeah, did you? See, then we're making history. But let's do this first. This is the archive, as I was saying. We're using language that people don't, some may not understand. What is the word, where did the name Bilalian come from? Even how do you spell it? We got to look out for the people who are first-time listeners. It is spelled B-I-L-A-L-I-A-N. It's from the name Bilal. Bilal, B-I-L-A-L-I-A-N. So the question becomes, well, who is or who was Bilal? And they're referring to one particular person, Bilal. This is Bilal, commonly called Bilal ibn Rabah. Bilal, the son of Rabah. His mother was Habashi from Ethiopia. So sometimes you would read about Bilal, and they say he was in from Ethiopia. He himself, from my understanding, he was born in Mecca, but his mother was from Ethiopia.
His father and mother were both Abyssinians.
Yes.
Which we call today Ethiopia.
Yes. Yeah, Abyssinia is the ancient name, the old name for modern-day Ethiopia. And Bilal was born a slave in Mecca during the lifetime of Muhammad the Prophet. And it was through him encountering Islam that he gained his freedom. And so Imam Muhammad, seeing the connection between Bilal, who had African roots, found himself in a foreign land, but his freedom came through Islam. Imam Muhammad said, that is a picture that all African Americans can use to how someone from our lineage and our family tree, if you will, rose up from slavery and through the message of Islam, he became free. And it was also
the same way he would put a rock on his chest to make him submit to not going towards al-Islam is the same way they put a knee on your neck and kill you. It's
very
just
similar.
That he didn't
die. Yes. You know, and there's a lot of symbolic messages there.
But just to get the people to understand first of who we are speaking about, I think as I know it is, it's very important because people are like, well, who are
I
they
talking
about?
I think we need
about?
To speak about us as a people. We you know, there are certain things that we do. We gave America its music. Someone was just talking about music. Now they're going to have something up in Oakland. Great. You understand? And we're going to have the thing on October 30th for the raise of money for the Muslim Journal. Wonderful, you know. But we have to understand that we have our own culture. Let me tell you something. When Muddy Waters got off the slave boat, he started singing blues. Believe me, we had blues. All right.
Muddy Waters on a slave boat?
Well, I'm just, you know, he came after the slave boat. Believe me, his ancestors were
right.
on the slave boat. But anyway, I'm just kind of
I get ready to see, because I saw Muddy Waters in concert back in the 70s.
I know, in your lifetime, right? I know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
But so this right here is a good conversation to have. Imam Muhammad, he shied us away from using that language at that time period, but I don't see where he told us to stop the concept or to stop pursuing it. I think the
right.
timing at that time, he had already planted the seed. He had put it out there, but Bilal and me, where it came from, it came from a man named Bilal, who was a slave during the time of the prophet, who became the one to call the people back to righteousness because he began to call the event, to call the prayer, which is another connection for us, in our role, in our obligation. We are to call the people back today in the same spirit as Bilal. We are to call them back to
Bilalian people, whether you're Christian, Muslim, Jew, or Hebrew, we all gravitate towards the Creator, period. Now, all of us are not walking on the same road, but we're all going in the same direction. The oneness of the Creator.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Sultana. You gave me an idea for a future show. We can talk about those who have the name Bilalian, because there's a lot of them. There are a lot of us in our community, they have the name Bilalian on their birth certificate, and we need to give them some understanding and some history to make that make sense.
Not only that, I have a group of people. And they wear long clothes like I do. And so they like the stuff that I was at one time selling garments for women, right? And they like those garments and what have you. So those ladies wear long dresses like I do. And when I talk to the pastor concerning Bilalian and explain it to her, she said, oh, that's what we're Hebrew Bilalians. Look at that.
Yes,
wow.
Yes, ma'am. That's right. So
sometimes you give in dawah and you don't even know it.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, we're going to move forward because I'm about to wrap up. I've got about 5 minutes left for this portion. So we thank you very, very much, Sister Sultana, for calling in today.
You're welcome.
And it's
thank
been a lot to talk to you soon. You're welcome.
Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Okay. We do thank our sister for bringing that to our attention, to our conscience. We need to be very aware of those terms and language given to us by Imam Muhammad. So, Brother Daniel, I pray he's okay. And maybe, inshallah, we'll talk to him soon. But once again, just to as a reminder, let us support our community institutions, our Claire Muhammad Schools, our Muslim Journal, our local masajid, local masjids, in our community centers, and that will support our Muslim youth, educate our Muslim youth on our history and our journey, and connect them with that long line of struggle that we have as a people. We owe that to our people. We owe it to our next generation. This is our day. This is our turn. We got work to do. We got a lot of work to do. It's not time to roll down your sleeves or cut off your sleeves. This is the time to roll up your sleeves and time for us to go to work as Muslims. Allah has blessed us to come a long way, and we cannot stop now. So, Muslim Journal, concert next Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, $25 for it. You get the link. You can watch it in the convenience of your home, or as we're going to do here in Indianapolis, we're going to gather at the mosque and buy a number of tickets, and then we're also going to sell subscriptions. So we should be busy trying to sell subscriptions to Muslim Journal. The Muslim Journal still carries on page 15 the words of Imam Muhammad. So even you may say, well, I read that already. I already know what that says. But you, what about your neighbor, your cousin, your family members, your friends? We should support that institution. This year marks the 60th year since the paper was started by our brother Malcolm X, better known as El Hajj Malik El Shabazz. So support this institution. You learn about what's going on in different cities. You learn about people who have passed on in different cities. I learned a few times I didn't know someone had passed until I read the Muslim Journal. It has excellent columns in there by Dr. Nuruddin and many others. They have long-running articles on health and on from our perspective, from the military, the veterans, the group called MAVA, from our perspectives. That's a health consortium of Muslim doctors, from our perspectives. We need to have institutions that speak to us from our perspectives and support those entities. Those are our blessings, and we must continue to support it. So Muslim Journal, this is a subscription drive. Next Saturday, October 30th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, go to www.muslimjournal.net and click on the link for the jazz concert by Brother Winard Harper. And also another date to save is November 14th. That's the Muslim Folklore National Zoom. We're going to have Muslims and folklore from all over the country. You know, last year they elected a new leader. This would be the second new leader since the passing of Kira Lubitz. They elected, I think it's the first time, a non-European. She's Palestinian, the new leader is. Her name is Margaret Karam. Like we say Kareem. Her name is, last name is Karam. Margaret Karam. She's fluent in Arabic, fluent in Hebrew, fluent in English, and maybe some other languages. So she's bringing a very important perspective to the folklore movement. And she has prepared a video that we're going to play on the 14th of a message she has for us here in the United States of America. You know, next year, I'm sure Imam Pasha, Ezekiel Pasha from New York is planning something big for Harlem, New York, because for next May, because they were born 25 years since Kira Lubick came to Harlem and first met Imam Muhammad in person. So I'm sure he'll be putting something out on that for what he's doing for Harlem, New York for next May. But join us on November 14th. For what we're going to share. And the good thing about the November 14th event, the majority of the work is being done by people 40 and younger from the Muslim community and the folklore community. 40 and younger are the ones doing this great work to plan for this event on the 14th of November. So please get the word out. You can text me, email me, Facebook me, whatever, and I'll share with you what I have, because we want to support this event. And you don't want to be missing out on being a part of history. So alhamdulillah, we thank you all for tuning in. I have about a half hour left on this, what I say, so I'm going to bring my portion to an end, and I'm going to find something, an audio for you of Imam W.B. Muhammad speaking on something. I don't know. I could find one about a half hour long that you would enjoy. We have a few of them saved in our archive. Let me see. What do we have here? Now, here's one. Imam Muhammad speaks on racism, saying black is not an identity. So I'm going to play that one. And then I'm going to play another one. Now, I don't believe this here. Oh, my goodness. Is this my brother Daniel?
Assalamu alaikum. Yes, sir.
Alaikum assalam.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I'll get ready to sign off.
Okay.
But you know
what? Sign off?
I just figured it out.
Oh.
I just figured out what happened.
You know what?
I know
okay.
What happened.
Look, you thought since I was in Indiana, I was on Central Time. You mean
I'm
to tell me
Eastern
Time? When I said 2 o'clock, I meant 2 o'clock Detroit time.
Oh, my brother. You got to be kidding me.
I'll tell you. I've been calling you up, like texting you. I'm like, I said, what's going on?
Because
a lot of people say, Gary, Indiana, and Evanston, Indiana, they are on Central Time with Chicago. But the rest of the state of Indiana, we on New York time.
Oh, my goodness.
Go ahead, my brother. I'll give me a picture of my man Muhammad, but you signed on 2 o'clock Chicago time.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all good. Allah's in charge. We don't worry about things like this. Allah's in charge.
Yeah.
So
yes,
we got a few people still that had not... We still got some people on. So go ahead and share with us your thoughts. You want to share with us on unity in our Islamic community.
I just want to say I apologize to the audience. I wasn't able to see my phone call coming in. The brother tried to call me, and I don't know why I thought 2 o'clock he meant 2 o'clock Eastern, and I thought it was Central, so it's all on me. And this is the eighth round of the of what we call the Unity Day proceedings. I did a strategy after praying to God for a way to bring more unity in the Imam's community, in my opinion, and I challenged our community with that, and I did a couple of addresses on that, at one on 9/11 and another one at the first Sunday for the Mosque Cares, which was on the 3rd of October, and every 3 days I have been doing an update on my profile giving the audience 3 reasons why we should attend the event Unity Day, which is coming up on the 30th of October, and it's 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m. That's Eastern time, Detroit time. The event is a concert, a virtual concert, but it's exported from Detroit to the world, and on that day, the mayor is doing a proclamation on behalf of Imam Murtaza Muhammad, challenging the world to come back to common sense and unity. And we also will have a lot of features. We have a song that we are asking the global community to sing with us called Now We Breathe. the song Now We Breathe is in three movements. And the three movements are significant because that's what Detroit is. The 3-1 is Detroit. And we see the 3-1 as really being a sign from the God to correct what we have done in human history as human beings, even in our reference to him as being three. And the 3-1 goes on, and every 3 days we give three reasons because we believe that if the human being can do something in unity, it leads to more unity. So something as simple as singing a song, our impression is that it works. The song, as I said, was 929. Each movement is to be presented by one of the what we call leaders of our community. The movement one, which captures the spirit of the human being, fight with itself, herself, human against human, man against man against woman, white against black, green against blue, fat against skinny. That whole diaspora is captured by our Imam Abu Qadir in his 5-minute presentation to us, which is followed by the first movement of the song, get it? The happening. The second movement of the song is entitled The Appeals, which deals with the human being's tendency to be more learned, correct the learning, improve conditions, look for best practices, appeal to the Creator for higher consciousness and better actions among ourselves. That second movement is led off by our Imam out of D.C., Talib Sharif. It's followed by the second version of the song, and that's done with groups and choirs. And that second movement, of course, is the appeals. The third movement, interestingly enough, today, she led off talking about the isms, our good sister, Sister Anissa, Fetty Alice Lyon program. And Sister Anissa is speaking on behalf of the voice that comes to the human being from the heavens. And we call that the voice from the heavens. And it is in that song that is most prominent with the global community singing along the song. I post the words to the song today and so that people can communicate to it. And if you want to see a tutorial about the song or its preparation or how to do it in your language or style, sign language, German, French, whatever, you go to our website, which is hmuja2.com and / that's the / Unity Day, Unity Day. Now, you can register for the event, which is going to be done virtually, by going to Eventbrite, EventBrite.com / capital Unity Day, EventBrite.com / capital Unity Day, and register. Now, there are some proclamations and memos of understanding coming from the National Business League, the Wayne County Treasurer's Department, who was over all of those land bank properties in Detroit. And we asked what can be done for the community of Imam Water Saddin Muhammad specifically, because as a native Detroiter, his vision is foremost in terms of what we capture as the spirit of Detroit. So we're saying to the world that the spirit of Detroit is calling the world back to common decency and respect for God. So that's this is the eighth round, meaning that there's been 3 days where I've been presenting. This is the eighth round of that, and that's basically what Unity Day is. Unity Day is the day that acknowledges the one that was born today, the birth of the African-American spirit, which corrects the world, because as the newest form on the planet, the African-American actually is a front-row view of every culture that has ever been on the planet. You can learn something about the greatness of your culture and how much you are a champion by observing what has happened to the African-American and the African-American experience. So it's, we have viewed it as a competitive thing, who is the best, who are more, who this. But we've missed the idea that God is giving us our corrections to our humanity in the African-American picture. And that's what we call the unity day. That's it. In a nutshell.
Okay. So how can someone tune in? Is there a link or?
Yes, the link is to go to, again, and that's what we just said, eventbrite.com / Unity Day and register. And then the information is all there and they can learn. And if they want to learn the song or the parts in the song that they want to do, they can go to our website at hmuja2
facebook.com/unityday, and they can pull down the tutorial on how to sing the song.
Okay, now give that site again a little slower. H what?
HMUJA2.com/unityday. The event is exported from the HMUJA2.com.
Okay. / unityday.
The event is being exported from the Muhammad Ali Gymnasium, so we chose the boxing ring to stage the fight that the human being has to gain unity. We have to fight for unity, too. And so we're staging it from the Muhammad Ali Boxing Center. That's at the New Medina Foundation's gym in Detroit on 7 Mile. And there's a lot of history there that is really interesting as well. But there are a lot of signs and goodness generated. We believe that this event is one that can add some value to somebody. And we thank you for giving us a chance to talk about it. We know that it was confused. The evening event, I call us the opening act. The evening event for the Muslim Journal, which is being done by our good brother, Wynard Harper, a real good brother, good friend of mine. And we hope Wynard will also play the song at his event. That's the evening event. Our event is the day event, is the opening act, if you will, for Unity Day.
Okay. All right. Yeah, because we've been promoting all day about the 1 to 7 p.m.
Yeah.
So your
I understand. Yeah. Ours is the opening of that. Unity Day was a effort originated by your good brothers and sisters in the from number one from Detroit from the
number
Detroit,
one.
Pardon? Say that again.
Go ahead. No,
I was just saying
number one is back.
Number one is back? Not yet. I would say number one, we still have to do more unity as everyone else does. I don't exclude us from that. But I do think that the spirit that the imam left here in Detroit is the spirit that we have as a community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I do think that we can demonstrate a greater unity, and I think that that will have an impact on the world.
Okay. Right. Now, just for the record, two things. Eventbrite is all one word, and Bright is spelled B-R-I-T-E.
That's correct.
So note that to people.
Yes. Good pointing that out.
And then another thing to point out on the other connection you gave was HMUJA2.com/
yes.
is unity hyphen day. There's a hyphen or dash between unity and day.
And that's a system created thing, and that's a very good point, and I stand corrected by my brother. I don't mind being corrected by someone like you. I don't mind that. It's a blessing to me.
Alhamdulillah. You're welcome. Yeah. I went because we said it. I'm sitting here from my computer, and I tried to type it in. It didn't come up, so I just I guess I'll work with it for a minute. But now
I see.
You had you got about 15 minutes left. Too well. Unity within the community. I thought you were going to speak more on, which I had told everybody before. You're going to see more unity within our association with Imam Muhammad. Do you have some thoughts on that, too?
I do. There are 10 different – I call it – that's the same thing. I addressed that at my first Sunday, but the 10 different groups, when I talked to the persons in the 10 different groups, they had not heard the lecture. But the lecture was done at the first Sunday from the mosque cares, and it was my opinion that that would have been something that would have been a good communication link, because I challenged each of you, yourself, CWSC, the League of Muslim Women, the conveners, the big-headed scientists, which I called myself one of, and I challenged these our different leadership groups, because everyone had assumptions. One thing that we didn't really absorb well as a community is when the imam passed, most of us really were in a state of shock, really, but we didn't see it as that. But alhamdulillah, That was similar right. to where we were. And I think that our reactions to each other were based on our orientation to the imam. So, for example, and then I used it in my example on October the 3rd, I said, for example, a brother, and I think I might have even named the brother. I said he's been with the imam for years as his associate, as a companion. When the imam passes, he's got to say to himself, wait a minute, what is Wallace going to possibly tell me about the dean? I've been with the imam all this time. I'm a student. I know the edabia. I know this. I've been with the business with the imam or whatever it is. Our orientations, the imam had relationships with each of us, almost, I would say, which is so beautiful. We had almost individual touches, and I include yourself in that, Mikal. You, I observed you had an individual relationship with him. We had a group relationship, but you had an individual relationship. And I think when Wallace came in, there were assumptions about what the new leadership would be. And I think that what happened is that we missed it. The wisdom of the imam was so wise. And I said in my October 3rd address, think of this. Even when we look at the prophet, peace upon him, and his era, and those that followed him, at this same point in time, after the prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, one of the caliphs, the rightly guided caliphs, had died, another one had been assassinated, and a third one was on the way to being assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
The imam was able to improve on, he can't improve on Muhammad, but he was able to improve on the administration that follows that lead, that inherits that office, in his decision to put his son there, because his son is a person who is willing to tell his own mother no. If she wants money and the community doesn't really have it. I've seen him do it twice. Wallace is a man that is not going to be telling any of our guided, rightly guided leaders, and we have several. I won't name them now for time, but he's not interested in telling them anything. He's able to respect everyone's area of expertise, and unlike some of the leadership that we had in our first experience, he's not intimidated, nor is he willing to pierce the veil of the respecting what we bring to the table. And so he respects our relationships with his father, and that was something I think was not really well viewed by our community. And so there are several things that I gave by way of that to show that our community, as a result of these positions, we have not had the unity that normally we would have. And Unity Day, we can't ask the world to be in unity with us if we can't demonstrate a better unity with our own selves.
So let me ask you a question, because so you are, and this is where the issues come in. So it sounds like Jesus, you are promoting Wallace Jr. as the leader.
I'm promoting him as the leader of the mosque cares. I'm not promoting him as the leader of the community of Imam Waters B. Muhammad, but I am willing to promote him along with yourself, along with Fahim, along with Sister Aisha, along with, you know, our community and our different areas of expertise. Earl Elamine, Bashir Ali, Nasir Ahmed, Anissa Dewan, Abu Qadir. On and on. Our community is a community of leaders. We are a community of leaders. So I would not put that, there's not one of us that is the leader. Our community is the leadership.
Right. Okay.
Wallace is not the leader of the community of Imam Waters B. Muhammad, though. No, he is not. And neither am I.
Uh-huh. Well, and I think most of us will agree that we hear some voices out there floating in the air promoting one single person, but I don't see that forthcoming as being successful because, as you just well said, we all have a role to play. That's the term we were introduced two years ago. They call it participatory democracy. So we got two words there, right? Participatory.
Yeah,
and then the second word, of course, is democracy, and this is Michael Sahir thinking out loud now. So if you don't participate, then you don't get any democracy.
I would say that that is a rather very defining. That's very defining because participatory is a requirement for governance. You can't governance requires participation. So you are totally on point. In fact, I'm going to use that, and you might hear it. I'm going to take credit for it. I'm going to say that Brother Mikhail pointed this out to me, but I'm taking credit for it.
I think that would go a long way. If I may add to your points, and I was sharing with them before you came on about the tree of life concept that I have been blessed to create, and it's the leadership that we all can recognize is the language of Imam W.D. Muhammad. His language is definitely a leader. I mean, the Quran is an ultimate leader, which is exemplified by Prophet Muhammad. But for our association, the language that the Imam gave us, we all would follow that. Now, for me or you or some other person, then we may, for those in our association, we may or may not. But for the language, the body of knowledge, yes, we can all follow that. And pass that on to our youth, for our next generation to follow as well.
Well, I would say that further, the other thing about your design that that strikes my heart very much is that it is also significant of 3-in-1. Because although you use the leaf to picture that particular activity, we are, each one of those leaves that you name, it is also, in our case, as a community, it also happens to be the branch, and it also happens to be a root, so that what we have been given is a self-perpetuation that is to last as a model, as an example, because leaves fall off, leaves die. But what people have to see about your model is that leaf that you're painting is also that branch that it's on, and it's also the root that feeds it. So if one leaves, it replaces itself. And I think that is that idea is certainly Quranic, and it certainly is a blessing that you were able to see that, and it's something that is not meant to be really yours. It's coming through you for us. It's wonderful.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yes. You know, and you may recall, and those who are listening may recall, Imam spoke about the tree in this perspective. Of course, he spoke on the tree in many, many, many perspectives, but I'm going to highlight one that I can recall at this moment. And he was speaking about the resurrection. And how in the fall of the year when the leaves fall, and it's in the dead of winter, but as long as that tree remains true to its original form, it will be born again. So the tree stands all winter long, bare naked, no light on it. But if it remains true to its original nature, it will be born again. And that's saying the same thing for us, for our community. If we remain true to that original teachings that Imam Muhammad was blessed to give to us, you're going to see the fruit of Islam come out again on those branches.
Fruit is a good word. Imam Fahim, he would capture that process in the word, scientific word, capillarity, the tendency for a thing to, even though it is challenged, capillarity. It's feeding, it finds its capillarity. It will find it no matter what it has to do. It will find its capillarity. The water will go against gravity to get to that root. Capillarity, that's correct, sir. That's the blessing. That's why we are here. That was the promise from God to us. Yeah. Yes. Very well.
Let me
ask you
a question, because you saw the archive, and you can always go back and retrieve this program. Really, we're going to go off in about 5-10 minutes. Within a half hour or less, you can go back and hear this show again. So what would you say are some of the biggest obstacles in our unity in the Imam Muhammad's community?
God knows best. God knows best. And I would say that I would say this for starters. To whom much has been given, much is required. And I remember I used to tell brothers who used to sit around the imam, make sure that, you know, you back off, brother. Make sure you back off. Because there is no ending. Our cup is already running over. What the imam gave us, our cup runs over. And so now, as human beings, we have to individually find a way to balance that, the uswa. We have to have balance over what has been bestowed upon us. I think that presents challenges for us as a community. I also think that, again, our orientation, we lost a little bit of orientation when the imam passed. And I think that the idea that what we might call centralization or decentralization, I think it came into our thinking as to should our focus be local or national. And obviously that one requires more thinking. But we, in our positions, because of our whole history, I think when you talk about our history, you got to look at the first experience and the second experience. You got to look at them both. And I think in that process, when we had our first experience, we had leadership teams that were not necessarily equipped with the tools to do battle with the war and the change that we needed. And I think in our second experience, we had the embellishment of the knowledge, but we had to purify what comes before the knowledge, which is the spirit. And one of the things that a lot of the so-called learned have criticized the imam about is that he put so much focus on the spirit. But the imam was the greatest person that I've met in terms of business. He was the greatest person I've met in terms of education. And I've met many around the world. And I've experienced them and dealt with them. And so I don't speak lightly when I say that. But the imam put the emphasis on the spiritual so that once we get that corrected, we can move in every direction. And I think that where we are right now is we still have a little bit of lull in our spiritual unity. We are spiritual. We have a lot going physically. It's just not seen. But when we come up, it's important for our spiritual unity to be one. And I think we become the light for the world.
Yeah, let me close on this point here because my time is very up. But we're going to go over it just for half a minute.
Yeah.
No problem, my brother. You have worked for decades, I think, in the business world. Is that correct? And in corporate,
that would be,
in the corporate world.
That would be a fair. If you're saying I'm an old man, that would be correct. Yes, sir.
No. What I'm trying to say is that when you, a man who has decades in the corporate world, say that Imam Muhammad is the best businessman you've met, I want people to understand you're not just saying that because of the local candy store down on the corner. You are a man who has worked for years, decades in the corporate world.
Yes.
And you still hold Imam Muhammad in the highest esteem. That's very important for us to understand.
Yes, sir.
So, alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Yes,
so,
sir.
So my time is up. I think the guest went off on those who can hear us now, those who are on the telephone. So, those on the internet, they did not. We're off the internet. So, let me say this here. I do have to go. I got another meeting to do this evening. We are planning for the November 14th folklore, Muslim folklore event. As well, so thank you, my brother. Maybe we can do this again another time.
I think we'll be doing the song at that 14th event as well with the Focolare Choir. They are going through it now. We're rehearsing it with them now. In fact, and the song is called "Now We." Thank you, sir.
You are thank you, and we say to you all, "Assalamu alaikum." Assalamu alaikum. And we will now close out with our theme song. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
People, every day, trying to
just do things their own way. But everything you see, touch, smell, those are things that tell you words to think twice before you step on any fight. Make sure your words hold true, cause people hold you to your words that make people. And people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your world. If your words are jive, then jive you are, cause those type of words, they don't go far. Think and start working back from ideas deep in your mind. It's words that make people. And people that make the world go round. Words make people. Check out the words that make your mind.
Thank you, WD, for setting me free with words.